Well, good morning and welcome to Good Shepherd. I'm Talbot Davis. I'm the pastor here at Good Shepherd United Methodist, and we are following Mr. T over the next several weeks in a message series called I Pity the Fool. It's going to be a deep dive into the book of Proverbs within the biblical library. It's this book of wisdom and advice from above. And one of the great things that we have going on during this series, because we want to give you tools so that you can grow in your living relationship with Jesus Christ, whether you're connecting with us physically or virtually, one of the things that we're doing is that every week during this series on your phone, you can download the memory verse, and it can be the wallpaper for your phone. And it's so easy at the gsumc.org website that I even was able to do it on my phone. And if you know that I could do it on my phone, you know it's got to be really, really easy. So you head over there and you'll be able to download today's memory verse, this week's memory verse, which comes from Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, which we will be getting into in just a little bit together. But that's one of the ways that we want to give you not just messages and not just music, but actual tools, actually ways that you can help grow and develop your own living relationship with Jesus Christ. And we've been so glad that over these last several weeks, so many of you have been tuning in from all over the place. Of course, a lot from the Carolinas, and then also from Texas and Minnesota and Mississippi and Kentucky and India and Russia and sort of all points in between. So wherever you are and however you're connecting with us, we are so glad that you are here. And as we prepare for the message today, if you have your Bible with you, if you just want to download the verse right now and look at it, I do want to invite you to locate Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. And one of the things that we believe at Good Shepherd is that this thing that looks like a book that I'm holding in my hand, fundamentally not a book, is library. Lot of authors writing over a long span of time in multiple writing styles, and the book of Proverbs is really kind of the advice column of Scripture, except it's not the wisdom that you would find on this earth. It's wisdom for earth from heaven. And it's a collection of sayings and wisdom insights from about 3,500 years ago. And throughout this whole series, we're going to be digging into it. And that's just a fact that the Bible is not a book and it is a library. The other thing that we believe very deeply here at Good Shepherd is that there's no other library like this one. That God breathed his life into its words and he put his truth onto its pages. And because of all that, Scripture is inspired and eternal and true. You may not believe that yet. That's okay. We just want to be honest with where we stand. And because we believe those things about the Bible, that it's inspired and eternal and true, we do something together when we talk about it. And I've just loved getting all your pictures about how you're still doing this in your homes. We lift it up together. And again, this might seem to you like kind of an odd thing that a church would do, lifting up Bibles, whether in person or digitally, but it's our way of saying, God, thank you for giving us your word. It stands in authority over us, and we're eager for its power to be let loose in our lives. And so before I say another word, let's pause and pray and pray with me and pray for me. We've got this inside virtual service, and then a little bit later this morning we're going outside to do an outdoor service. And so just pray for stamina for all of us who are putting this on this morning. So Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your wisdom, and thank you for the marvelous way that the book of Proverbs has of teaching us how to manage our lives and our tongues and our relationships and even the way we talk to ourselves. So I ask that you would give me a fresh pouring out of your Holy Spirit this morning so that all within the sound of my voice would love the wisdom that your word provides. I'm powerless without you, Lord. But because of you, I'm never helpless. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you can tell from the name of the series, I Pity the Fool, we are going to be dealing with foolishness over these next several weeks. And as I have thought about our own relationship with foolery in our lives, and foolery's first cousin Tom, of course, it occurs to me that none of us are static when it comes to how we relate to the foolery in our lives. Like, none of us are 100% foolish, and none of us are 100% wise. It's like all of us are on this continuum. And as I thought through that, and what does that continuum mean about our own relationship with foolery in our lives, it really made me realize that all of us are sort of at one of three places when it comes to how we relate to foolishness. And we made some signs for you. The first is, we're foolish. And when you think about the trajectory of your life, you think back to those times when, you tried to drive through a McDonald's drive-thru backwards to see if they would serve you. They wouldn't, by the way. And you look back on those times in your life and you have some humor and you have some nostalgia and you have some regret. And all in all, those are the times when in the past, yeah, you look back, yep, I was foolish. And then there are the other times where it's our foolish. Like, not in your past, in your absolute present. And those are the times when you realize with this sickening understanding, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have started that relationship. I shouldn't have said that thing about my boss in public. I shouldn't have clicked on that website. I'm in a fix. And it's because I have been foolish. And that's where a lot of you are right now. And get this, some of you are there right now. You are in the are foolish and you have no idea. You think it's all someone else's fault. And then the third category, it's maybe my favorite, it's the question mark. That's what will you be in the future? Because some of you were foolish, a lot of you are foolish, and the future is to be determined, is it not? And if that's you, and you either, yeah, I've had a lot of foolishness in my past, and I'm still paying the price for it, or I'm stuck in a mess because of my own foolishness right now, but you don't know what the future holds, I've got some really good news for you. And I've got some good news for you when it comes to how you handle your money, when it comes to how you use your tongue, when it comes to how you talk to yourself and how you handle relationships. And that really good news is this, that your foolery is not your destiny. That just because you've been this or you are this doesn't mean that you will be this. And my great prayer for the people of Good Shepherd and beyond is that we, as we pity fools over the next several weeks together, that in pitying them, we will make sure we don't become them. And our launch pad to make sure that whatever foolery we've had in our past or that we have in our present will not be part of our future. Our launch pad is this marvelous theme verse for the entire book of Proverbs. It's like at the beginning, Proverbs tells you, this is what the rest of the book is going to be about. And it's chapter 1 and it's verse 7 and it says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, this one has a really warm place in my heart. But because when I was 18 and I went off to college surrounded by a whole lot of super smart people, like my freshman year roommate who had 800 on his math SAT. You can't get better than 800 on your SAT. And so here I was surrounded by all these incredibly smart people. And my sister had framed this verse for me, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." And I put it over my desk, and that's how I would dedicate my homework every night, surrounded by all of these really smart people. And it was really like a filter for all this knowledge and all this information coming into my brain. These words were the filter, which I'll come back to in just a little bit. But as we think about Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 and how it will make sure that the future of our lives, the to be determined, is filled with a lot more wisdom and a lot less foolery, it really is remarkable, not only for what it does say, but what it doesn't say. And is it okay if we start at the end? Because look at that verse again, Proverbs 1:7, and look at the last part of it in particular. We're going to start with the end. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now think about what it doesn't say. Doesn't say fools ignore wisdom and instruction. It doesn't say fools avoid wisdom and instruction. It doesn't say fools forget wisdom and instruction. They despise it. They detest it. It is offensive to them because it reminds them wisdom and instruction, not only from God, but from godly people. It is so offensive to people who have the mindset of fools because it reminds them they're not in charge. You know what it's like? It's like that time not too long ago, back when the world was still open. Do y'all remember that, when the world was still open? And I was leaving the YMCA one day. And as I was leaving, I saw a mom and her two-year-old get out of their minivan and start across the parking lot to go from car into Y. And mom reaches out to grab her two-year-old's hand to guide her, because, you know, a YMCA parking lot is where a 2,000-pound car can crush a two-year-old girl. And so as mom grabs her daughter's hand to guide her safely into the Y, the daughter's like, "No! I will not do that. I will not be restrained. I will not be guided." And the daughter was so defiant. She put her arms across her chest like this. "No, mommy, I will not take your hand." And I thought, that's exactly what it's like. That here God gives us his hand. He guides us through the minefields of life. And so many of us are that two-year-old, "No, I do not want to hear from the Word. I do not want to hear from other saints. I do not want to hear from wisdom that is beyond me, because I think I have life all figured out." And we, by listening to the beat of our own drummer, we head down that inevitable path to self-destruction. And so many of you, not only in your future, but as you look at your past, you look in your rearview mirror, you're like, "Yeah, I was that two-year-old. No, God, I will not take your guidance. I hate your guidance. I even hate the guider." And as I've tried to figure that out, fools despise wisdom and instruction. And as I've tried to figure that out, it really, really occurred to me, I know why. Because living a life of wisdom takes time and takes some effort. Even that word wisdom, it's so ancient. And the deal is, fools, people who act foolishly, are seduced into thinking newer is better and younger is smarter. Fools want it now, and the wise want it best. Fools get wrapped up in what is urgent, and the wise devote themselves to what is ultimate. Fools want it quickly, and wise want it with quality. Yeah, over and over again. When fools can't get what they want now, they don't want it all. If I can't have it now, I don't want it at all. And man, that's what happens so much in our lives. That's what's happening in your lives. Those times in your lives when you didn't value patience, when you decided you needed to forge on ahead, regardless of what the people around you were saying, regardless even of what you knew Scripture was saying. You look back on those times in your life that you recall with regret, and every time, I guarantee, they are because you wanted now what wisdom wanted you to wait for. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Is that you? Is that where you found yourself? And if so, it's time to turn to the very first part of that verse. Because look at what it says. We've already seen fools don't avoid wisdom and instruction. They hate it. It's offensive. But what does the first part of Proverbs 1:7 say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, don't get all wrapped up in that word fear, please. Oh, we got to fear God. Actually, the word fear there is this posture of a teachable spirit. That instead of this, the foolish spirit, the fear of the Lord is open and receptive. Ah, there's always more I can learn. There's always more I can know. And it is done with this awe that the God who could be furious with me, the God who could send me to hell, won't. And when you have that understanding, that is the beginning of all kinds of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And as you ponder that, you know what really got me? Whew. Knowledge begins with the one who didn't. That the beginning of knowledge, of your knowledge and my knowledge, of filling the future of our lives and our relationships and our money and how we use our tongue with wisdom instead of foolishness, that it begins with the one who had no beginning. I love what God does with the timing, even in these words. Wisdom begins with the one who never began, the unbegun one. And yet he is the same one who's willing to get into the details of your life and my life and teach us how to spend our money and how to use our tongues and how to manage our relationships. And you remember I told you that really Proverbs 1:7 is like a filter? That when you understand, oh yeah, knowledge begins with the one who didn't. And fools want it now, or they don't want it at all. Man, that filters out so much of what you allow into your brain. I told you about going to college with all those smart people, and the people surrounding me at that college, they were geniuses in so many areas, but they didn't know a thing about God. And so because Proverbs 1:7, hallelujah, was over my desk when I would do my homework, all this wisdom, all the world, the best the world had to offer was coming in, and yet I could filter out what was valuable with what was useless. And some of you have no filter for what you allow into your brain. You're so susceptible to the most recent fad, the most recent trend. You bought into the thinking, newer is better and younger is smarter. And in fact, I just want you to know that so much of today, what sort of masquerades as sophisticated is really just silly. Like you know what they're doing on all the smart campuses where all the smart people are gathering together these days? You introduce yourself and then you give people what your pronouns are. Like, I'm Talbot, he, him, his. My wife, Julie, she, her, hers. If you want to let people know that you're not sure, they, them, theirs, as if one person can be a plurality of people. And it's what all the sophisticated people are doing these days. And that's just sophisticated masquerading and camouflaging just how silly and absurd it really is. As if you can't tell, he, him, his, as if it's not obvious. Beyond that, gender is good. Biology is not bigotry. It's this beautiful, glorious way that God has created us, and we get this privilege of celebrating it. And only when you understanding, my quest for knowledge begins with the one who never began, then do you have the filter to realize, oh, that's absurd, but this is true. See, really, when you understand and internalize the The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's this awareness. God, I don't ever know it all. God, I have never arrived. God, I'm always willing to learn more about you and your ways and your word and your people are this never-ending reservoir of truth and beauty. And I just want to soak it all up, Lord, and I'll never be done soaking it all up. Really, here's what it all boils down to. If you want your future to be filled with a lot less foolery than your past and then your present, here's what it all boils down to. Fools never start what the wise never stop. Yeah, fools, because they want it now, and if they can't have it now, they don't want it all. They never even begin the lifelong process of growing into God and becoming all God wants them to be. They're too caught up in fads and trends to dig deep. Fools never start, but wise, they never stop. It is this lifelong privilege, lifelong journey of growing to the point where you know more about the Lord and his word and his people. You know how this worked with me? Y'all know that this, because we just did it a few minutes ago, this whole Bible lifting thing that happens every Sunday when we gather together digitally or in person. And when I say, not book, is library, actually, I think that'll probably be on my marker that whenever I die, that whether I'm buried and there's a little headstone or if I'm cremated and I'm put in a vault, it'll say Talbot Davis, born November 14th, 1961, died, I don't know, 2081 or something, given my genes. And underneath that, it will say, it's not a book, it is a library. It's kind of how people know me. Well, did you know I've only been doing that the last 10, 15 years? Which means that for the first 15 or 20 years of hello, being a pastor, I didn't even have this concept. But God is so good. And he brought younger men into my life, like Chris Thayer, who's our Zora campus pastor, or James Michael Smith, who's one of my favorite Bible teachers on planet Earth. And he brought them into my life. And very tactfully, they let me know, Talbot, did you know you preach Bible verses, but you don't really preach the Bible? And there's such a difference. And when you realize, not a book, is a library, not just the verses, but the whole library. Oh, I entered a whole new realm of living and growing and understanding. Fool, that time at least, confronted with my own foolery, I didn't get all proud. No, I know better. No, Lord, teach me more. Fools never start with the wise. Never stop. Or it also makes me think of the life group leaders at this church, wonderful, wonderful people. And there's this pattern. When life group leaders come to tell me about a new study that their group is doing, and this is whether they have a book study they're doing or a video study they're doing, whatever they're doing, you know how they tell me about their new study? With this great big smile. Talbot, you can't believe this new resource we have. Talbot, I'm so excited about it. And this is whether it's people leading a young adult life group or people leading a couple's life group in the beautiful marriage movement or an 80-year-old saint pouring out her life into the lives of women of all ages. They tell me with a smile. And these are people who already got it going on. And that just shows you, fools never start what the wise never stop. You know what's so great about all of this, and when you really understand it, and when you dig deep into it and what it all means, is that the payoff for living a life of wisdom, and I know that for some of you, getting there with books or even videos is not going to be as easy as getting there with a hands-on. Some of you learn better. A lot of you learn better by reading, and that's my way, but a lot of you learn better by hammering a nail or making a sandwich for the rescue mission. You learn by doing. But wherever you are, whether you're one of those people and you learn about God by reading about God and being in a group with God, or you learn about God by serving people, by making things and doing things, wherever you are on that spectrum, it is this posture that always says to God, my arrogance is the enemy of my intelligence. And the more that I acknowledge that I don't know it all, the more I acknowledge God still needs to do this work in me, the better off I will be. And the payoff for living a life like this, Good Shepherd and beyond, it is crockpot. It's not microwave. That's why fools never get there. Because if they can't snap, zap, I'm mature, they don't want it. No, this is a crockpot kind of life, a slow simmer. And that's when the payoff comes after the learning, after the growing, after the shaping, and not before. I mean, think about it. Some of you run, and you get a runner's high. Does the runner's high come before you start your 10 mile or after? Hello. Others of you lift. And does the lifting euphoria, does it come before you lift the weights or after? Or some of you have been through labor. Well, do you celebrate that baby before the labor or after? Hello. It's the same with growing in the things of God. It is not always easy. It just is always worth it because the blessings never run out. Fools never start. But the wise never stop. I just want you taking those next steps. Yeah, I'm ready to start this kind of life, Lord. I know I'll never stop learning and I'll never stop growing. Every morning, tomorrow morning, I give reading prompts to the people of this church and the community well beyond it. It's on Facebook. If we're not friends, send me a request and I'll say, I'll accept it. And we are journeying through the New Testament book of 1 Timothy even right now. And you can start your day tomorrow in the Word and not the world. And that'll be the way that you can begin with this massively small step that says to God, yeah, I get it. I get that fools never start, what the wise never stop, and I don't ever want to stop. Not long ago, there was just before the pandemic broke out, there's a 70-year-old man in my office with his 69-year-old fiance. And after we set the date for the nuptials, they asked me about premarital counseling. And I kind of hemmed and I kind of hawed because, you know, if you're 70 and 69, you've already lived a little bit. And I tried to be tactful, maybe not successfully. I tried to be tactful and I said, well, given your stage of life, I'm not sure premarital counseling is really necessary. And that's when 70-year-old man interrupted me. And he said, if you're too old to learn, you're too old. And I was like, hey, that will preach. And now it is. But if you're too old to learn, you're just too old. There's a man who gets it, that the wise never start. The fools never start. What the wise never stop. He gets it. Will you? Let's pray. So God, thank you for all the ways that you want to slow cook us into goodness and joy and maturity. And I ask that you would give the people within the sound of my voice the wisdom and the patience to take those massively small steps into the fullness of a living relationship with you. And I pray, Lord, that as people memorize Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. They'd not only know it, they'd live it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.